Hi, this is Dr. Taylor Hartman with Very Best of Living. We are happy to have you with our podcast every week. This is with Kat Larson, my colleague. Hi, Kat.
Hi, Taylor Larson. Oh, there was a Freudian slip. Sorry.
Oh, my gosh. One of us is enough. We don't need both of us in the same marriage. It's great to have you here. All right, so we've been talking about people and purpose and experiences and perspective. And I've been so happy with some of the comments I've received from people about, you talked about loving the unlovable and how important that is in life. And several of them have come back to me and said, help me more with that. I need some help with that. So one couple was sharing with me, I want to be as lovable as I can be. My problem is that, like one of them said, I have a dad who is a narcissist and everything is about him. Like, it doesn't matter what it is. It makes it about him. So what is my responsibility there? And then his wife said, yes. And every time my mom gets into my life, she creates havoc. It's always about her at the expense of us. And I've been trying to protect my children from that, which makes sense, right? So as we talked about this, I just want to make sure our listeners understand that, first of all, I do not want someone to feel guilty or illegitimate or dismissed if you're not strong enough to take on certain people in your life. Do not feel that way. Like, there are some people, honestly, they're difficult for the best of the best to deal with. And some people have also experienced so much trauma that the last thing they want to do is put more energy into the person that created the trauma. So with that caveat, let's just understand that it's your call when you want to engage the toxic personality. That's your call. But I do want people to know that I am a firm believer that the stronger you become, the more charactered you become, the cleaner you are, the more capable you are to deal with anyone of any kind. Because they can't own you. You own them. And how you do it can be very different. I myself am very quick, articulately. I can say things back very comfortably. So that's easy for me. To put someone in a place that is stepping over boundaries. There are others, they don't have that skill. They're kinder. They are slower to process things. They're not good with words. So no, they can't. That's not a tool they can use. There are others that are so traumatized that it's kind of like when you go away to college and you come back to your home and all of a sudden you're a kid again. You're like, what happened? I was having such a good life growing and evolving. And now I'm a kid again. But that's what happens with people that are traumatized. They often go back to the trauma, and then all of a sudden they're like, oh, I'm frozen. I can't do this. So I don't know where you all are in your path of dealing with people in your life, but I want to suggest to all of our listeners that the goal is for people not to own you. That is the goal. Like, when someone shoots someone in road rage, they're owned by that person they shot. I don't see why people don't get that. They're owned by somebody else. They don't manage their emotions. They don't control their life. So if you have been raised, for example, in a home with a difficult parent, and I part of that is on you, like how you dealt with it, what it meant to you, but you also were a child. Of course, you know what I say, when you're 18, it's on you. Come on, grow up. Now you got to take your life and put it in your hands. But it doesn't mean that it wasn't difficult for certain people to be raised by certain people. You have to decide, What do I want from this relationship, and what do I want for myself? Like, for me, what happened in my relationship with my dad was I wanted more of a relationship with him. That's what I wanted. So I re-engaged him and built a really wonderful connection in our life. But for others, it may be, I don't want a relationship. Are you kidding? The last thing I want is them more in my life. So if that's the case, what you want to decide is, okay, so what do you want for you? What would happen for you if you were to evolve and grow so that you can release them and not feel fear from them? So now let's talk about that for a minute.
Can I ask a question, Taylor?
Yeah, please.
So one thing I hear a lot of, on reading books or radio or podcasts or anything, is it seems to me that, and I myself have been there, right? Is that I wanted to know, and people want to know, you can say my parent did this. and why did they? Now, you can't really never answer that question, can you?
Well, no. However, you can answer it if you become emotionally educated. Like if a parent did something to you because they're so insecure they had to make it up with themselves, you can know why they did it. It was never about you. But there are many times you don't really know the person's motive. True. I agree. It's a good point. Don't get stuck there.
But that's what I'm saying. To me, what it sounds like is that need to say, you know, wasn't I enough? Why didn't he love me? Why? I want to know that. And then that is that a weird, like mentally we go into, I want to hold on to this because I know if I let go, then it really does fall on me.
The question. Yes, I do very much. It's interesting. I guess I take more the approach of what are you gaining by asking the why? Like the reality
is a great distinction.
It won't change the outcome, right? So move forward. I don't have a problem with people. I'm a therapist. Obviously, for years I asked the question why. That's important to me. But at some point, it doesn't really matter. The damage was done. What happened, happened. Like my mom liked boys more than girls. Okay. I mean, I was a boy. Good for me. It worked for me. But for my sister, it wasn't as easy. But she knows that now. So what? Why my mom liked boys more than girls doesn't really matter. It still impacted her, right? But at that point, you got to move on. You got to say, what I felt was because I was a girl, I didn't matter as much. Okay. So now is that how you feel today? Well, no. I actually have created a wonderful family. I love my kids. And I don't have that bias, by the way. I'm like, well, then it's a dead issue. It's over. It was painful. I'm not saying it wasn't, but it's over. Let it go. I think what you're referring to are people that want to sit in it and they want it to become the focus of their life, which they can't really ever answer.
Why do they do that?
Because you, like you said, they don't have to take ownership. It's not about me. It's about them. They did this to me. And that's that victim state of I am not responsible. It was done to me. And anybody that knows anybody that's charactered knows they never sit there, ever. No, move on. Whatever happened, happened. Right. And we all, by the way, there's not a person listening to this podcast that has not been injured, hurt, challenged, traumatized in some form by someone. There is not. So the question is, all right, so what have you done with that? How have you dealt with that? Is it still impacting your life? And the worst one, of course, when I talk about in the character code, victims, villains, and heroes, is when the victim becomes a villain. When they are abused and they now become the abuser, right? Instead of becoming a hero, which is to free themselves from what was done to them and not do it to somebody else. So it's real important that as a listener, you think about this. So am I sitting and wallowing in why something was done to me? And if so, is it because I'm too afraid to own my own life? And in fact, sometimes I'll say to Blues, I'll say, you know, you worry so much about other people. I wonder if you don't want to worry about you. Like, let's look at you and what you're worried. Well, I just, you know, I care about them. That's why I'm doing it. No, that's not why you're doing it. You're doing it because you don't want to work on you. You want to fix them. And guess what? They don't want to be fixed, especially by you. They want you just to leave them alone. Well, how can that be? So it's important that we start thinking about, all right, am I the kind that's sitting and wallowing in stuff that is this a reason I'm doing that because I don't want to face the truth? I don't want to own my stuff. It's funny when you talk about the baseball diamond where I wrote the book on understanding how to live a life successfully. So first base is get yourself, right? Second base is get truth. That's the base that I think people struggle with the most. They don't want to look at the truth, right? Like I've talked before, like my brother was a bully, older than me. And I was the instigator. He was a bully for sure, but I was the instigator. I was always taunting him. Well, that's the truth. I mean, you can say whatever you want to say, but that was the truth. And I think a lot of people don't start with the truth. They start with the story, the narrative. And the narrative keeps them free of doing their work. Here's the narrative I'm telling. I think of one woman, for example, that was cheated on in her marriage. And so the narrative is, I can't trust you. And I said, no, you choose not to trust him. It's not you can't. You won't. You don't want to. That's the narrative. So the truth is, take the truth, is you don't want to give him a chance. You're done. So own it. No, the truth is that he cheated on me. See what I'm saying? It's just so important people get out of the narrative that they're telling themselves to free themselves to see the truth. But it's like crazy making is what it is. I was talking to a woman the other day who's involved with a man. She likes him so much and they do so well together, but he's crazy maker. There's no question about it. He will drive her crazy. And if they marry, which she's struggling with because she doesn't want to be alone, and she's older and there's not as much options out there. She said, well, am I wrong with what I'm asking of him? And I said, no, actually what you're saying is very legitimate. But he doesn't want to own anything about himself. It will never be okay for him to work on him. So as long as you understand that, you can marry him, but you will be crazy mate. He'll make you crazy all the time. So, but you'll have a companion. So just own the truth, right? And she was really great when I really put it out real clearly to her that you're choosing a relationship with somebody because you're too afraid to be alone, despite the fact that you know that being with him will drive you crazy. That's what you're doing. If you can see that and do that, then it's on you. But when you call me in 6 months, you and I both know that you'll be feeling crazy, but you'll have somebody in your life.
You know, it's so good because as you're talking, like the trauma or the parent or anything, is that you can actually turn, like what I hear is taking an action step, which is turn that into an action step of being able to turn it into an accomplishment. You lived through it. You noticed it. You know, I mean, the way you were talking, it's almost like, okay, great. You can't do anything about it. You lived through it. Yes, it happened to you. Now can we turn it into a, you know, it's tragic, but you can be optimistic about it, right?
Absolutely. Say, well, the fact that you can see
it. I'm here.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Well, you know, I love what you just said. I don't do well with somebody whose broken record narrative is how wounded they are. I mean, hello, we're all wounded, right? I love the person that says, let me tell you what happened to me and what it's done for my life. That is unbelievable to me. Like it's just, or even-
Like
even,
an achievement.
Yes, an achievement, an accomplishment, like you say. And even better is when they can say, and I can see what role I played in it. My gosh, are you serious? It's just remarkable to me when people see trauma or life challenges in a positive way versus a negative way. When we talk about experience, for example, I'm a big believer in life experiences, but yellows are often, I think, vulnerable to just having the experience. There's nothing else to it. Like we're so good at doing things that make us happy, for example. That's great. I mean, nobody likes that more than me. I'm more than happy to go to Cabo. That is not a problem for me. But if all my life is about having experiences with no depth, there's no learning, there's no perspective I gain from it, I'm like, really? That seems so empty to me. So I do think if your experiences in life have been thrust on you and or you've chosen them and then they have a negative outcome, if you let the outcome be final as negative, then that's on you. You didn't choose to make the experience into something you learned from, you grew from, you're better for. Yeah. I like us to think about it that way. Like, how do I see my life?
Yeah.
Am I learning from it? Am I growing from it? Or am I just like, I just want to be dead. I want to be done. I have like 3 clients right now that are physically, Kat, I'm telling you, my heart goes, every time I see them, I'm like, how do you do this? Like every single thing about them is failing in their body. And it's not them. It's not psychological. It is strictly body. And I go to bed at night sometimes thinking about these people and how painful their existence is. And yet the 3 I'm talking about have been such an inspiration to me. I mean, unbelievable. I'm talking about going into the hospital like every other week. I mean, it's like, this is not minor stuff. This is like major shutdown, nothing they've done to cause it. It's just in their genetic makeup. And yet, they go on. And yes, they have their moments of, is this worth it? I just don't know that I want to do it anymore. I get that. I totally understand that. But they get up the next day, they put their clothes on, and they go off to do what they can do. And the ones that really do it well say, you know what? It helps me to have something to focus on, like a purpose that gives me a reason, like my kids getting them out to school or whatever. That gives me a purpose. Now, they're in pain when they're doing that. But instead of not doing it, and just focusing on the pain, they focus on people and on purpose, despite the physical pain. Those people are making life experiences meaningful in my mind. And I think I love them for what they do for me with that clarity. I don't know that I would handle this as well. I really don't know that. So,
well, that is another huge, I mean, it's like the attitude you take towards any suffering in your life is pivotal, isn't it?
Great insight. You choose the perspective you want to take on all your suffering. You choose
on it. All your suffering.
Yep. And what you've done with it. What have you done with it? I mean, I am mesmerized when I see people that were traumatized with abuse who are not abusive. How wonderful. They actually turned that suffering into help, right? And then I see other people that are like, I'll never trust anyone. No, I don't want anyone in my life. I don't trust anyone. And I'm like, well, that didn't work so well. I don't think you shouldn't be proud of that. You should be like recovering from that. That's the goal here, is to get better with that. Wow.
Well, one of the things you teach in that is like, if I can take it and I can transition that into a responsible action,
yes,
that 100% responsibility,
yep,
that you teach about,
right,
is I'm going to take this. I transition it into something I can be responsible for. And I like that transition. I mean, the transition is ugly and yucky and
hard. It's hard.
But hard, really hard. But that's what you're asked. That's what you're saying, what I hear you saying. I hear you saying transition that stuff to a responsible action.
Yes, and don't seek somebody to justify you staying stuck. Like you said, go get responsible. Find people that will support you changing in the process.
Yeah.
It was interesting. This man was talking to me about his sister died a horrendous death. I mean, it was an awful cancer. She was young, had two very young children. And I've talked about her before. In the process of dying, she learned not to control. Her husband was choosing a different lifestyle than she would have. He would raise the boys differently than she would have. And she was going. And I witnessed her give him total freedom and love to be whoever it is he chose to be. It was no longer on her plate. That same person that died, her brother no longer believes in God. It was so traumatizing for him. How could God let this beautiful person die that he now has turned God off while she turned towards a more loving God and became more charactered? So the same experience, although it's happening to one person versus the other differently, but same experience, traumatized one and freed another. So look at that in your life. Like what have you done with the trauma and the suffering and the challenges that has freed you? And what have you done if you're stuck? You can't let it go. This one guy I'm working with, he's a great guy, but he's so stuck in that my wife didn't listen to me. And I said, well, at what point are you going to make it okay? That, okay, you're party to that, it happened, it wasn't good, but you're wanting to have a relationship. At what point do you say, I'll let it go? We all make mistakes. I've made mistakes, she's made mistakes. And he said, well, what mistakes have I made? I said, well, one was you didn't forgive her. That's a mistake. That doesn't work to your advantage.
Yeah.
So if you're willing to look inside, there's always something you have done or could do to turn suffering and pain or bad experiences into a good outcome. That's the essence of it, right? And by the way, if you're ever stuck in fear, that will not help you mend that fence. It won't happen. It can't happen. You've got to turn to love. You've got to turn to trust, to faith, to belief, right? And the way you do that is start doing things that are proactive and not about you, but about others. Make life about other people. What can I do to show someone else I care? Write a letter. Do something to make it not about you. Because where you are is not a good place to be. So that's it's this one guy I'm working with right now. I'm so proud of him. I said to him, I'm tired of hearing your story about wanting to die. Just go make me jealous. That's your whole homework. Make me jealous. Just write me things that you're doing that make me jealous. Well, he outdid himself. I'm telling you, I'm like, stop writing. I'm tired of hearing what you're doing. It is so exciting, Kat. I'm so proud of him. I can't even tell you. I think about things he does and it motivates me. I'm like, he's doing things that are so different. And like things, he talked to someone and yet he would never have done that a week ago, 2 weeks ago. I mean, never. But
something simple.
Something simple wasn't a major deal. He's on a hike and somebody noticed and said hi. And he goes, I would have thought, well, that's awkward before. I would have said nothing. But instead I turned and said, hi, how are you? And just that simple shift. Let somebody else in the car who's cheating and crowding and doing everything you hate come in front of you. So what? You're not God. It's not your job to punish them. You're not the motor police. Like, it's important for people to learn that shifting your life towards a positive outcome doesn't take big things. And it certainly doesn't take big money, for sure. In fact, when I've talked to young people that are dating, that are struggling financially, I said, you don't get it. This is the opportunity of a lifetime. It will push your creative juices, not to spend money to make it okay. Make something creative out of it. Those are the best dates. So whatever you can do, take that little step towards making suffering meaningful, making your experiences positive. Yep. Does that make sense? Any questions about that?
Oh, no. Could you send me that? Can you send me the step-by-step instructions, please?
Yeah.
Well, actually, you have. We're good.
It's there. It really is there. But you know what? It's funny. I was thinking about how so often the energy we spend spinning our narrative that keeps us stuck, if you took the same energy and put it towards being proactive, being creative, coming up with some possibilities, asking somebody for some help, any of those things, honestly, you put the same energy, your life would be 100% different, 100%. And it's always about turning outward, not inward.
Yeah, I think that vulnerability thing about when you are at that spot and you are stuck, if you don't ask, and I don't even care who you ask, you know.
Well, I care who you ask. Don't ask someone they'll validate you staying stuck.
Oh, no. Yeah. I just meant like it doesn't have to be Dr. Taylor Hartman.
Right.
It can be somebody in your life.
Right. Please.
That, you know, maybe your role model or your mentor. I mean, I'll tell you who one of the best peoples that I think are great to ask are your children sometimes.
Ah, that's cool. That's right? Really cool.
Yeah.
I like that a lot, actually.
And they know stuff.
They do.
They watch.
They know a lot more than we think, don't they? They're very observant. That's really good. Gosh. And how respectful for a parent to say to a child, what do you think? That's such a great statement. Absolutely. I love that.
Yeah.
It's true that our families are our greatest heartache and our greatest joy. I mean, in all fairness.
Yeah.
So hopefully anything you can do to invite the joy into the relationship is what you should be about.
Yeah.
But for those of us that are suffering, that are struggling, those of us that seem to have a difficult time shifting our perspective from negative to positive, my heart goes out to you. I'm not telling everyone it's just easy to do, but I am promising you there is a path. Just like in anything else, if you want to do it, it's there. You can get better at it. We have coaches that will help you. I'm a firm believer in moving your life forward at any place that you are right now. Thank you all for being with us. It was terrific, Kat, as always. Love working with you.
Thanks, Taylor. Have a great day.
Thank you. Next week, we'll do questions for me.
Oh, fun.
All right. See you all. Thanks so much.
Start studying.
Yes. Bye. I'm working on it. Bye.
Hey, Color Code family. It's Kathy Larson. I want you to take down a number. I want you to put this in your contact list under the people code. The number is 385-526-2350. Again, 385-526-2350. Text the word VIP to that number and you'll get back from us a request for your name and your email. That way we'll be in touch with you on anything that's happening at the People Code, any offerings, exciting things that are coming up, and you can let us know what your needs are by texting us at that number. Look forward to staying connected even more. Thanks so much. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.